My wife and I used to joke that I'd leave at halftime to go get refreshments and not come back because I'd end up visiting with somebody about something that was really important in their life. Or I'd be out on the road and a farmer would flag me down with his pickup and we'd either get in his or mine and we'd have a conversation that would oftentimes lead to scripture and oftentimes be about needs that he had, his marriage had, his family had, things, you know, that were really important.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Over half of the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are in rural or small town communities. What is unique about ministry in these communities? Concordia University, Nebraska and Concordia Seminary are partnering together to provide insights and learning about serving in rural and small town communities. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining me today, Erica Petsch. She's Director of Continuing Education at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, here to share more with us about more learning opportunities. Erica, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Also joining us today, the Reverend Russ Sommerfeld. He's Professor Emeritus of Concordia University, Nebraska, and former President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Nebraska District. Pastor Sommerfeld, welcome back. Welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Also joining us today, the Reverend Dr. David J. Peter, Professor of Practical Theology and Dean of Faculty at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Peter, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
It's my delight to be with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to our chat about rural and small town today here on The Coffee Hour. A lot of folks think of KFUO being in the big city here in St. Louis, but we serve listeners all around the globe, including rural and small town communities. So let's define that. Pastor Sommerfeld, do you want to start us off with a definition of how you define rural and small town ministry?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Rural and small town ministry is typically pastoral care, but sometimes there are directors of Christian education, as well as Lutheran schools in these sparsely populated areas. The government calls them non-urban areas, generally population under 5,000, recently changed from 2,500. These kinds of ministries call for relational kinds of leadership and community service, and they address the spiritual needs of people who are involved in agriculture quite often, mining, fishing, forestry, sometimes tourism in these small towns. The churches there are often like anchors to those communities. There's an old saying among small towns, if a small town is declining, the last two things to go are the bar and the church. A friend of mine who is a sociologist in the area of rural work says the opposite is also true, that if a town is going to revive, it's the church, the functional church, that helps it to revive first.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Peter, anything to add to that definition?
No, that's very good. And I would just add that in other contexts, ministry is also highly relational, but it's a very different kind of relational approach. And I would say in small town rural ministry, the relational approach has to be very, very accessible, that people are accessible to one another, and that the pastor is very, very accessible, and that they're is a strong one-on-one character to the relationships that's going on, including pastoral care. So the relational aspect is very important, and it's a distinctive kind of relational approach.
And I think we're going to unpack that more today in our conversation as we talk about the upcoming Studio Vitae program from Concordia University, Nebraska, in partnership with Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and how we can learn more about that. But let's start with your own personal stories. Dr. Peter, what has been your experience in rural and small town ministry?
Yeah, well, I grew up in central Nebraska, which is very much an agricultural economy. Although I grew up in a city of 30,000 plus, but was very familiar with the agricultural context. My first call, and really my only full-time call, was to a downtown congregation in Peoria, Illinois, and a large congregation. And so that was not rural. It was not small. But when I became a professor here at the seminary a few years later in 2009, I was asked to serve as a vacancy pastor at a small church in a small town southwest of St. Louis. And I have continued to serve there since that time for 17 plus years. And that is where I have really kind of got immersed into the realities of small town, small church ministry.
What does that mean for you to have that experience in a rural and small town congregation? What are you learning through that experience?
Yeah, well, it was very enriching and I think very helpful for me in my role as a professor here in forming pastors to go out into churches because, as you said, the majority of our LCMS congregations are in small town rural context, and the vast majority are small. At least 85% of our congregations would be categorized as small congregations. And so it's really helped me to understand the culture, the dynamics, the way to organize, the way to relate in that more small town rural context in my own teaching ministry. But I've also just come to greatly appreciate the strengths that are inherent to the context of small town and rural and also small church, and especially the relational aspect, the kind of organic, informal relationships that exist where people care for one another directly, not just through staff people, but directly. That has been very powerful to me.
Pastor Sommerfeld, what has been your experience in rural and small town congregations ministry?
Well, I, like David, grew up here in Nebraska, me in the northeastern part of Nebraska. I had contact with a small community through my aunt and uncle. They had a small farm, and I would go there on a regular basis and then also to their church in their small community along with my cousins. However, I will tell you, I was naive, I guess would be the right word, about life in small communities until I was in them. My vicarage was a combination vicarage of a hospital chaplaincy and then serving a vacant congregation under the supervision of a pastor in a small village of 72 people. That was a really new experience for me. That led to my first call at a dual parish where one of the congregations was rural and the other was in a small town. And it was there that I really began to understand that a lot of ministry really happened outside of the church, outside of me being in an office. I don't care whether I was at the post office getting my mail in the morning or at the grocery store, or on the sidewalk in front of the grocery store, or at a ball game on the sidelines, or in the bleachers, ministry would happen. In fact, my wife and I used to joke that I'd leave at halftime to go get refreshments and not come back because I'd end up visiting with somebody about something that was really important in their life. Or I'd be out on the road going to give private communion to members of the congregation, and a farmer would flag me down with his pickup, and we'd either get in his or mine, and we'd have a conversation that would oftentimes lead to scripture and oftentimes be about needs that he had, his marriage had, his family had, things, you know, that were really important. I found out that these relationships that started this way were a lot of times sort of like seeds, because it took time for them to grow. And sometimes it took years to see the harvest that would occur for families as well as individuals. So a lot of, as David says, a lot of one-on-one relational type ministry. I have some fun stories about those times and some difficult ones too.
You mentioned it on your way somewhere and a farmer in his truck may flag you down and the conversation then continues in his pickup or yours. That makes me ask, is a pickup required equipment for ministry in rural and small town?
No, I just like one.
Oh, okay. Me too.
If the church provides it.
Yeah, I also did carry a gun for hunting too. Well, more than one. I was a bad hunter, but it was still a great opportunity to relate with other hunters, you know. In fact, I had a nickname for turkey hunting. They called me Butterball because I had to get mine at the grocery store.
That's great.
That's kind of similar to me. You know, I went out fishing with folks, a lot of fishing near where my church is. And I'm not a very good fisherman, and I'm also especially not good at cleaning the fish.
So did you get a nickname as well?
Well, they said, I'm not, you know, my last name is Peter, and they say, you're not Peter the fisherman. That's for sure.
We are learning about rural and small town ministry, and that is the topic of an upcoming Studio Vitae with Concordia University, Nebraska and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We need to take a quick break. Before we do that, Erica, what are the dates of the course for Studio Vitae for this topic?
Sure. This course actually starts, it'll be on Tuesday evenings, starting September 8th at 7 p.m. Central Standard or Central Daylight Savings Time. It will be six sessions that are 1 hour each. And the last session, the course will finish on Tuesday, October 13th.
Very good. So we'll talk more about how to be a part of that course and some of the topics that are going to be covered in Studio Vitae on rural and small town in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We are learning about the upcoming learning opportunity with Studio Vitae at Concordia University, Nebraska, along with Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, learning about rural and small town ministry and what that looks like. We're talking with Erica Petch, Reverend Russ Sommerfeld, and the Reverend Dr. David Peter, all involved with Concordia University, Nebraska and Concordia Seminary's Studio Vitae. Let's talk about what is unique about rural and small town culture and particularly relationships. Pastor Sommerfeld, you started to mention this as you were sharing some of the stories before. How would you describe the uniqueness of small town culture and relationships?
Well, there are several things. One I would talk about would be just how people in small towns perceive themselves. You know, we perceive ourselves as being friendly and neighborly and looking out for one another, and we have ties like that. We also like to communicate with each other with stories. We're storytellers. We have an oral history to ourselves, and that's sort of how we, you know, build our connections with each other. And we also, we handle the kinds of challenges that come our way just by really coordinating with each other, collaborating with one another. And it's, as David said earlier, a lot of times there's a lot of one-on-one kind of conversation that also goes on in the life of a small community. Some sociologists really study this a lot. I mentioned him before, Randy Cantrell, worked with the oldest rural poll that goes on every year here in Nebraska. It's through the University of Nebraska. And in 2012, they studied the churches across the state. Fascinating what they learned as they did that about the way of life that people appreciate. Another guy that's been working on it lately says that people who live in small towns like to do so today because it's a place to form community.
Dr. Peter, what would you describe as some distinctives of small congregation life or small rural and small town congregation life?
Yeah, I would emphasize the last word that Russ just shared, community, that there is a strong sense of community within the congregation and also within the broader, you know, town or rural area, a sense of community that is not as rich in my experience and also in my research with reading others, sociologists and so forth who have studied this. It is not as direct and I would say rich as in other contexts such as urban and suburban. So we have a lot of LCMS congregations in suburban contexts, and oftentimes in those contexts, people who live in the suburbs may not even know their neighbors, may not know who is next to them, or they may be living in gated communities and so forth. And they don't like oftentimes walk around the downtown areas. There are some exceptions, but with the small town, there is a real sense of connection with one another, not only in the congregation, everybody knows each other, and most people have a genuine care for one another, but they care for the people that they live next to. They know them. They interact with them. And actually, the church I'm serving right now, we have added a number of people who have moved from suburban areas to our more rural small town area because they're looking for that sense of community. And this is where they can find it. And what this also means for small town ministry, though, is that your church needs to be visible in the community. You need to be engaging with the people in the community in informal ways, certainly, but I would also say in formal and programmatic ways, intentional ways, the congregation should be engaging with the community.
Pastor Sommerfeld, more on that?
Well, I would just add that Robert Worthnow of Princeton has been writing about this, and he's talking about how people are going to the smaller communities to find community there. However, sometimes it can be a little difficult to break into a small community. And as David was talking about, one of the things I found important when I served in small community was to be involved in the life of the community and find things that I could do that, you know, connected with me personally outside of my role as a pastor in that community. Because people like to know that we're really a part of the life that's there. So if you're a new person coming in, it's important to, you know, get involved.
Is the idea that all rural and small town congregations are small congregations, is that a misconception, Pastor Sommerfeld?
Yes, it is. I can take you to congregations here in Nebraska that are large. I can take you to a congregation that sits down in a beautiful, lush valley that's a large church with a beautiful school and a daycare and an outreach ministry there. I once served a congregation in a community of 1,000 that had nearly 500 baptized members. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that happened is we had a number of small congregations around us that had formerly closed, and a lot of their people then came to us. The cool thing about that was, and I really enjoyed it, was that we had the experience of being a small community, a rural community, connected by family ties, connected by a long history. We had all of that. But we also had the ability to really think about bigger ministry that we could do, mm-hmm. kinds of ways that we could reach out into our community. And that combination was, it was just exciting.
What are some of the challenges that rural and small town ministry faces, Pastor Sommerfeld?
Well, I would say there's four, and Heath Curtis, in his wonderful book that he writes about this, he's president of the Southern Illinois District, talks about these. One is aging membership and sometimes declining communities. The more remote you get, the more you have declining communities. And so, you know, you don't have the growth that you have in the congregation. Limited numbers of volunteers, and of course, adequate financial ability to support a pastor or even to think about additional church workers. Although we have some circuits that are getting together, and David can tell you more about that, to pick up another church worker. And then finally, caring for inactive members who've moved away, and also those who've become invested in other activities. Those are typical in the rural communities.
Dr. Peter, your thoughts on the challenges that rural and small town ministry faces?
Yeah, I think Russ identified some of the most apparent and maybe imminent aging populations, declining membership, those kinds of things. I would also add the dynamics that are oftentimes the case of being more exclusive, because the small church has a family feel to it. And maybe the church doesn't mean to, and usually it's not wanting to. In fact, it sees itself as friendly and hospitable and so forth. But it's very, very close-knit family sense communicates to people who visit or even other kinds of outsiders. This is a family. I just can't not enter into another family, you know, that kind of exclusivity. And so the congregation has to be very, very intentional in terms of how do we show hospitality and extend out the welcome to other people so that they don't get that sense that this is an exclusive club. The other thing is that the congregations can become entrenched, and that they just kind of you know, against all of these challenges, such as declining population and so forth, they just become entrenched in, well, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to keep doing it no matter what the results may be. And oftentimes that is not helpful for the health of the congregation.
Yeah, I'll pick up on that just very briefly. One of the things I experienced early in ministry was that self-concept for the rural congregation or small-town congregation was, well, you're not going to stay here very long, Pastor. Mm-hmm. You want to move to a suburban area for so your family has more, you know, access to things, or you want to be a pastor in a bigger church. And I would say, no, I'm here because this is where God has called me. But I can, and when I did finally leave rural ministry and leave small town ministry after 16 years, people said to me, "See, we told you so," you know. And so there's this feeling that they're not going to keep their pastor, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Peter, what are you looking forward to covering in this Studia Vitae course?
Yeah, so actually my expertise is primarily in the area of church size dynamics. And so I'm looking forward to commenting quite a bit on how to help small churches navigate the current landscape of ministry and mission. certainly. And so I do not have the same kind of exposure or expertise in the small town rural context. That's really, I think, what Russ is going to be addressing, although I do have, you know, some awareness and experience of that with the church that I'm serving. But I really want to help small churches have a sense of hope. A lot of times, as Russ was saying, a small church will have a low self-image of itself, the members do. And I want to help small churches see the vital place that they have in God's work, in God's kingdom, and how they can be really healthy in whatever context, but especially in the small town and rural context where we have a lot of small churches.
Pastor Sommerfeld, what are you looking forward to sharing in this Studio Vitae course?
I'm looking forward to sharing about the building of relationships and how relationships work in small towns, rural areas. Also helping to provide an understanding of what it means to be in that culture and become a part of that culture and to learn from it while you're ministering with people within it. And also then I want to talk with those who participate and learn from them too. That's a real big part that David and I want to do, because there we'll have people that are heavily involved already in rural small town, but partnerships, how to partner, because we don't have enough pastors right now for all of our congregations. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes finances are an issue for supporting a full-time pastor. So how to partner, but also how to partner different ministries with one another in congregations. So I'm looking forward to talking about that, but also learning what those out in the field are doing, because I'm not in a serving a congregation at this time, even though I currently live in a small town of 7,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just affirm that as well. This is going to be a dialogical experience. So it's not just a monologue of two of us, but we're going to be welcoming and involving the voices of our participants and learning from them, and they will learn from one another in this experience as well.
Erica, what do we need to know to be a part of this continuing education with Concordia Nebraska and Concordia Seminary Studio Vitae on Rural and Small Town Ministry?
Sure. To register for this course, you need to do so before September 8th. And registration does take place on Concordia University Nebraska's website. If you go to Concordia Seminary's website and search for parish ministry in rural and small towns, you will get the press release, which will then get you to registration. But if you wanted to immediately go to Concordia Nebraska's website, and you can type in parish ministry in rural and small towns there as well, and it will come up. But it's also part of the Studio Vitae, as we've mentioned. So you can go there. But the URL to get directly there is ceu.cune.edu. So that's
ceu.cune.edu.
Exactly. And this is just going to be an amazing course. I'm excited. Thank you to both David Peter and Russ Sommerfeld.
Erica, why is it important to Concordia Seminary to partner with Concordia University of Nebraska on continuing education opportunities like this?
Well, that's a great question. Since we do have some subject matter experts on our faculty, such as David Peter, on topics like this, but it's so important. And as you know, Andy, we've been doing this with some of the other Concordia University schools as well, to make sure that we are providing content that our pastors are asking for out in their ministries, whether they've been doing it for years or they get a new call where they need new information that they may not have learned at the seminary or may not know about. So this is going to be very valuable.
Dr. Peter, would this have been helpful to you when you were taking those next steps into rural and small town ministry, serving a congregation while also serving as a professor?
Oh my, yes, yes. it's so much better to be to have people who have done it, who know how to do it, to give you guidance beforehand. And you know, I just learn by doing, but it's also very helpful to learn from those who have done it already.
You can learn more again at ceu.cune.edu about the upcoming opportunity in the Studio Vitae program, Parish Ministry in Rural and Small Town Settings. My guest today, Erica Petch, Director of Continuing Education at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Erica, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
The Reverend Russ Sommerfeld, Professor Emeritus at Concordia University, Nebraska, and former President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Nebraska District. Pastor Sommerfeld, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And the Reverend Dr. David J. Peter, Professor of Practical Theology and Dean of Faculty at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Peter.
Thank you, Andy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.